Today's shiur is Perek Shlosha Asar Mehilchos Machalos Asuros, the 13th chapter of the laws concerning forbidden foods. Halacha Aleph, paragraph 1. Halokeach bais, o shesachar bais b'chatzero shel goy, umilohu yayin, im haya hayisraeli dar ba'osa chatzer, afo pisha ha-pesach besuach, hayayin mutter, v'pnei shahagoy mefachet tamid v'yomer, ata yikanes lebeisel pisom, v'yimtza osi b'toch beisel. If a Jew buys or rents a house in the courtyard of a non-Jew and uses it to store his wine, if the Jew lives in that court, the wine is permitted, even if the door is left wide open, since the non-Jew would always be afraid to enter, because the non-Jew would say to himself, the Jew may now suddenly come home and find me in his house. If the Jew resides in another courtyard, he should not go out without locking the door, and the key and the seal should remain in his keeping. He need not, however, fear that the non-Jew may forge a key to the house, but he does have to lock the house. Halacha Beis, paragraph 2. Yotzov lo sager ha-pesach, o shesager v'hiniach ha-mefteach b'yad goy, harai ha-yayin osa b'shesia, shem ha-nichnas ha-goy v'nosach, sh'rein ha-yisraeli sham. V'im omer lo echoz li mefteach ze'at sh'ava, ha-yayin mutash, lo imasa lo shmiras ha-bayis, if the Jew goes out without locking the door, or if he locks it and leaves the key in the non-Jew's care, the wine is forbidden for drinking, and the fear is that the non-Jew may have entered and rendered the wine libation wine, since the Jew is not there. If, however, the Jew says to him, hold this key for me until I return, the wine is permitted, since the Jew gave him charge only of the key, not of the house. And therefore the non-Jew is afraid to enter the house, so he shouldn't be accused of being a thief. Halacha Gimel, paragraph 3. Goy shesachar Yisrael, lidrach lo yeno betara, kadei shiyeh mutal Yisrael, v'yikachu mimenu, v'hoya hayayim bebeisa shal goy. If a non-Jew hires a Jew to press wine for him according to the rules of cleanness, so as to make it permitted to Jews, and to enable them to purchase it from him, the rules as follows. Im hayi Yisrael zeh sheshomer hayayin dar ba'osa chatzer hayayin mutter. If the Jew who has the charge of the wine, if that Jew lives in that courtyard, the wine is permitted. Even if the door is open and the Jew comes and goes. However, if the guard, the Jewish guard, lives in another courtyard, the wine would be forbidden. Even though the key and the seal are in the Jewish person's care. And the reason for this is Shakiv and Shahayan Shogai Uber Shuso, Eno Mefachid Lazayef, Ulhikanis Labayas Vyomar, Vihima im Yedubo, Lo Yikhumimani. And the reason is, since the non Jew is the one who owns the wine, and it's in his possession, he would not be afraid to forge a key and enter the house, and he might say, let come what may, who cares? Even if they get to know about it, they can do no more than fail to buy the wine from me. It's my wine, I don't have to be afraid of the Jewish people. And therefore it is forbidden. Halacha Dal, paragraph 4. Afilu kosav hagoy liYisrael shenuskabu mimenu hamos linkolo behen yayin hoil ve'ein haYisraeli yachol hotziyum rishus hagoy ad sheyitin lo hamos harihu shel goy ve'osur elim haya hashomer darsham bechatzer. Even if the non-Jew gives a receipt in advance to the Jew, stating that he had received from him the money against the sale of the wine, nevertheless, inasmuch as the Jew cannot take it out of the non-Jewish person's possession until he actually pays him the money, the wine still belongs to the non-Jew and is therefore forbidden, unless the Jewish supervisor resides in that courtyard. The supervisor, however, need not sit there and watch it continuously, but he may go in and out, as we have explained earlier, whether the wine is in the possession of the owner or in the possession of another non-Jew. Halacha Hey, paragraph 5. Hoye yayin zehator shel goy munach b'rishus harabim, o bebayis ha-pesuach l'rishus harabim, v'Yisrael holchem mishavim muter, sh'adayim l'nichnas b'rishus ha-goy. If this wine that is being prepared as clean wine that belongs to the non-Jew is located in the public domain or in a house which opens into the public domain, where Jewish people walk back and forth, the wine is then permitted, since it has not yet entered the private domain of the non-Jew. And therefore he is afraid that the Jews might see him, and they might consider him to be a thief. Halacha Vav, paragraph 6. V'yashba v'chalon v'dekel. Afal pisha imbo pedros harei elu kushus harabim. V'chavis yayin sham v'goy hanimsi sham eina osra. V'bayis ha-pesuach l'sham harei huka pesuach l'shus harabim. A garbage heap, a window, or a date palm, even one bearing no fruit, is regarded as equivalent to a public domain. And if therefore a barrel of wine is located in those places, and a non-Jew is found there also, he does not render the wine forbidden. A house opening into one of these items that we just mentioned, one of these locations, is considered as though it were open into a public thoroughfare. Halacha Zayin, paragraph 7. Chater hachaluka b'mesifis v'goy b'tzad zech v'yisrael b'tzad acher. V'chein shnei gagin shehoye gag yisrael l'mayla v'gag hagoy l'mata. Oy shehoye zeh b'tzad zeh v'yesh b'nei mesifis. Afo pisha yad hagoy magas l'chelik yisrael. Eina choshesh m'shem yayin nesach v'loy m'shem taharos. If a courtyard is divided off by a low partition, with a non-Jew on one side and a Jew on the other, or if there are two roofs, that of the Jew being higher than that of the non-Jew, or if the two roofs are even and are separated by a low partition, one need feel no apprehension. There's no concern that the wine might be rendered forbidden libation wine, yayin nesach, or be made unclean, even if the non-Jew can stretch out his hand and reach the part that belongs to the Jew. Halacha Ches, paragraph 8. Mutal Yisrael lahafkid yeno b'kli sasam biyad goy, v'hu shi'ilo bo shnei simanim. Zehu hanikra chosam betoch chosam. A Jew is permitted to deposit his wine with a non-Jew in a closed vessel, but only on the condition that it has two marks of identification, and that is what is called a seal within a seal. Ketzad, sasam mechavis bikli she'ena mehuda kederach shesos min kol adam betoch betit hareza chosam echad. How so? What is a seal within a seal? If he closes the jug with a covering utensil which does not fit tightly, in the manner that all people normally close these barrels or jugs, and plasters it with clay, this constitutes a single seal. Now, if the covering utensil fits tightly onto the barrel, and one plasters it over on top, that constitutes a seal within a seal. V'chein imtzar pihanot harizeh chosam echad. Hafach pihanot l'tocha v'tzar olav harizeh chosam b'toch chosam. Similarly, if one ties up the mouth of a wine skin, of a sack made out of skin to contain wine, if one ties the mouth, it is considered only as one seal. However, if he inverts the mouthpiece of the wine skin inwards and then ties it up, then it's considered as a seal within a seal. V'chein kol shinu shemeshana midvarim she'ein derech kol adam, hareihem kechosim echad, v'haticha o akshira chosim sheni. So that we see from this that any alteration which constitutes a change from the normal practice of closing some type of a container, that alteration, that change, is considered to be one seal, and then the plastering or tying of it constitutes a second seal. Halacha test, paragraph 9. V'im hifkid biyad goy b'chosem echad, harei ze'osa b'shesia umuta b'hanoya, v'hu sheyichelo keren zavis. If a Jew deposits wine with a non-Jew, and he only has one seal, then it is forbidden for drinking, but permitted for other uses, provided a separate corner is set aside for it. Otherwise, the non-Jew is not afraid to open it up, and then it would be forbidden even to derive any benefit from it. Halacha Yud, paragraph 10. Yayin mevushal v'hashechar. O yayin she'ervu im dvarim acherim kigon dvash v'shemen, v'chein hachomets v'hagvina v'hacholav, v'chol she'isurim idivrei sofrim she'hivkidu b'yad goy, einar tzarech shnei chasamos, el chosem echad b'vad dayot. Aval ha'yayin v'habasar v'chtichas dog she'ein basimen she'hivkidim b'yad goy tzrichen shnei chasamos. Boiled wine, beer, wine mixed with other ingredients such as honey or oil, as well as vinegar, cheese, and milk, and in fact everything that becomes prohibited based on rabbinic authority, if entrusted by a Jew to a non-Jew, does not require two seals. One seal alone suffices. But if he entrusts plain wine, meat, or unidentifiable cuts of fish to a non-Jew, two seals are necessary. Halacha Yud Aleph, paragraph 11. Yiroi li shekol makum shamarna b'inyin zeh, b'yayin shalonu shehu asa b'shesia umuta b'hanoya min pnei tzad negiya shenaga bar hagoi, kishahaya hagoi oivir avedezara. The Rambam registers his own view in all of these matters, and he says that it would appear to me that in all instances where we have said in this connection that wine which is the property of Jews is forbidden for drinking, but permitted for use because it came in contact with a non-Jew, in this case the word non-Jew signifies one who actually worships idols. If it is a non-Jew, that is a non-idolater, such as a Muslim, who unintentionally touches wine belonging to a Jew or beats upon the barrel of wine, the wine is permitted even for drinking, and so in all similar cases. The only reason that it is forbidden to drink this wine is not because we're afraid he might have poured it for some idol-worshipping ritual, but it's because of the rabbinical proscription to keep the Jewish people away from socializing with non-Jews so that they do not intermarry. In this case, if, for example, the non-Jew did not have the intention of touching the wine, then it would be completely permissible even to drink. Otherwise, it's only forbidden to drink. Halacha Yud Beis, paragraph 12. Aval hamafkid yayin biyad ger toshav, o sheshlocha imo v'hiflik, o sheheniach beisa pesua b'chatzar ger toshav, hari z'osa b'shesia. Shekol chshah shel chiluf v'ziyuf, yirah li shekol hagoyim shavim bo, hoel v'nas hayayin b'shusam, nesa b'shesia al kolpanim. Then the Rambam continues to say that if a Jew entrusts his wine to a ger toshav, that is, a non-Jew who becomes a resident stranger, someone who accepts to keep all the seven commandments. So if the Jew entrusts his wine to that ger toshav, or sends it with him, and thereupon leaves him, or if the Jew leaves his house open in the courtyard of a resident stranger of this ger toshav, the wine is forbidden for drinking. And the Rambam explains that, in my judgment, the Rambam says, the fear of possible forging or substitution applies equally to all non-Jews, even to this ger toshav. Once the wine is in their keeping, it is in all circumstances forbidden for drinking, for consumption. Halacha Yud Gimel, paragraph 13. Yesh dvarim she'ein behem isur nisuch klal, v'asur osim chachamim kedei laharchik min hanisuch, ve'elu hein. There are certain things which in themselves are not prohibited on account of libation wine, but were nevertheless forbidden by the sages in order to avoid the possibility of libation wine. And these are those things that they have prohibited on this account. Lo yimzak hagoy hamayim l'toch hayayin shebiyad Yisrael, shemayav olitzak hayayin l'toch hamayim. V'lo yolich hagoy anavim l'gas, shemayav olidrach oliga. V'lo yisayel Yisrael b'shosh shemerik mekli l'kli, shemayaniach hakli biyad hagoy v'nimtza hayayin bo mikocho. V'im siya, o mazak hamayim, o hevi anavim mutar. A non-Jew may not pour water into wine held by a Jew. The danger is he might come to pour the wine into the water, as opposed to the water into the wine. Nor may a non-Jew carry grapes to the wine press. The danger is he might come to tread the grapes and touch the juice. Nor should he assist a Jew when the latter pours wine from one vessel to another. The danger is that the Jew should leave the first vessel in the non-Jew's hand, with the result that the wine would be poured through the non-Jew's action. If, however, the non-Jew does assist the Jew, or pours the water into the wine, or brings the grapes, in this case, since it is only a precautionary measure, the wine is nevertheless permitted. Halacha Yudal, paragraph 14. V'chein muter she'yiriach hagoy b'chavu shal yayin shalanu. Muter li'Yisrael hariach b'chavu shal yayin nesech, ve'ein b'zeh sham isur she'ein hareach klum, l'fi she'ein bo mamish. It is also permissible for a non-Jew to smell the wine barrels belonging to Jews, and it is permissible for the Jew to smell the barrels used for the forbidden libation wine of the non-Jews. There is no prohibition involved in it, since odor has no substance, because odor is not a tangible thing. Halacha Tezva, paragraph 15. Kvar b'yarnu shekol davar shehu asur b'hanaya im avra u'mechara damav mutarin. Chutz me'avod zara u'mishamsheha v'tekrova shelo v'yayin shenesnasichlo. We have already explained that if a Jew transgresses and sells an article which is forbidden to have any benefit from, the money received for it is nevertheless permitted. There are some exceptions, and they are the sale of idols, their appurtenances, the accessories to the idol, and the offerings made to them, as well as the wine poured out as libation to them. The sages have ruled that also, with regard to undefined wine, this stringency would apply. That the money received for this undefined wine, stam yenam, is likewise forbidden. Just as the money received in payment for wine with which a forbidden libation was made to the idols. Therefore, if a non-Jew hires a Jew to work with him in making wine, the Jew's wages are forbidden to have any benefit from them. Halacha Tezayin, paragraph 16. V'chein ha-socher ha-chamar lahavi alav yayin, o she-socher sefina lahavi bayayin scharen asur. Im mos nasnu lo, yolichon liyam ha-melech, v'im nasnu lo b'schar ha-ksus ha-kelim o-peros, harizei yisraf osan v'yikbar ha-efer kadesh lo lehenosbo. Similarly, if the non-Jew hires a donkey or a ship from a Jew to transport wine, the price of that hire is forbidden. If the non-Jew pays the Jew in money, the Jew should carry the money to be cast away in the Dead Sea. If the payment is made in garments, articles, or produce, the Jew should burn them and bury their ashes so as to derive no benefit whatsoever, even from the ashes. Halacha Yud Zayin, paragraph 17. Sacha l'goy chamar lirkav olav, haniach olav lugin shal yayin schara mutar. If a Jew hires a donkey to a non-Jew for riding, and then the non-Jew places vessels of wine upon the donkey, the price of that hire is permitted. Schara l'shaber kada yayin nesach, schara mutar, v'tavei olav bracha m'pnei shememayit b'tifla. If the non-Jew hires the Jew to smash jars that is used for this forbidden libation wine, this hiring is permitted, and not only that, but a blessing will come upon the Jew for being instrumental in eliminating the abomination of the idols and of the wine used for it. Halacha Yudches, paragraph 18. Hasocher es apoel, v'omer lo, haverli mea chavya shol shechar, b'mea prutos, v'nimza aches mehen yayin, schara kulo asur. If a non-Jew hires a Jewish laborer and says to him, transport these 100 barrels of beer, and I'll pay you 100 pruta, in other words, pruta for each barrel, and one of the barrels is found to contain wine, the entire hire money is forbidden. Each one of those prutos could be the pruta that was for the forbidden wine, in which case it is forbidden. Halacha Yutes, paragraph 19. Omer lo haver li chavis bepruta. Chavis bepruta. Vehever v'nimtze b'nein chavis shal yayin, schar chavis shal yayin osur, ushar schare mutar. However, if the non-Jew says to the Jew, transport for me several barrels at the price of one pruta for each, and the Jew transports them, and then it is found that among them are barrels of wine, the payment for the barrels of wine is forbidden, but the remainder of the wages is permitted. The difference between this case and the former is that in the former case, he hires all the 100 barrels for the 100 prutos, so it's not clear which pruta is for which barrel. In this case, it's one by one. One barrel for one pruta, then one barrel for one pruta, and therefore the barrel that was contained the wine is forbidden. The others are permissible. Halacha Chav, paragraph 20. Umne Yisrael sheshalach lehem goy chavi shal yayin b'scharam, muta sheyomnu lo, ten lanu es dameha, ve'im shenichnas l'rishusam, asur. If a non-Jew sends a barrel of wine to Jewish craftsmen, and he sends the wine instead of paying for their services, they are permitted to say to the non-Jew, give us its value in money instead of the wine. But once the wine has come into their possession, once he gives them the wine, such an exchange is forbidden because then they would be benefiting from the exchange of the libation wine, the forbidden wine. Halacha Chafalov, paragraph 21. Yisrael shahaya nosha begaimon. Halacha gayu machra vodazara v'yei nesach v'hevelo demehem harizem muter. If a non-Jew owes a Jew a mana, 100 zuz, and then the non-Jew, in trying to pay his debt, he sells an idol or some libation wine, and then brings the money to the Jew. In this case, the money is permitted. V'im amalo kodim sheyimkar hamtin li ad sheemkar avodazar o yei nesech sheyesh li v'yavilach avo pisha hu stam yeino u'mocher v'hevilo hareza osam pesha yisraeli rotza b'kiyumo kadei sheyipara mimenu chovo. However, if prior to selling the forbidden wine, the non-Jew says to the Jew, wait until I have sold my idol, or my libation wine, which I possess, and then I will bring the money to you, In this case, since he tells him ahead of time that he is going to sell the idol or the wine, the money realized is forbidden. Even if the merchandise sold is not libation wine, but undefined wine, stam yenam, because the Jew would be interested in the preservation of this merchandise so that he might be repaid from the proceeds of the sale. Obviously, he wants this to stay in existence. He doesn't want the idol or the wine to be destroyed, because then he won't get his money back. And in that case, it is forbidden. Halacha Chav Beis, paragraph 22. V'chein ger v'goy shahayu shutfin, ubo lachlog ein hager yachal omer l'goy, tol ata avodazara v'ani mos, ata yayin v'ani peros, shaharei rota b'kiyumam k'desha yithal k'negdam. The same thing would apply if a convert and a non-Jew who are partners decide to dissolve this partnership. The proselyte, the ger, the convert, may not say to the non-Jew, you take the idol and I'll take the money, or you take the wine and I'll take the produce. Because in this case, the ger, the convert, would be interested in the preservation of the former so that he might take their equivalent in the latter. Aval ger v'goy sheyarshu es avihim goy yachal omer lo tol ata avodazara v'ani mos, ata yayin v'ani shemen. Kalhu shehekilu b'yerushas hager, k'dei shelo yarzu l'suro. V'im shebol l'shus hager, asur. However, if a ger, a convert, and a non-Jew inherit from their non-Jewish father, the convert is permitted to say to the non-Jewish brother, you take the idol and I'll take the money, or you take the wine and I'll take the oil. The reason for this is the sages have made this leniency in the case of the inheritance of a convert so that he might not return to his former ways of non-Jewish behavior. Once this idol or this wine has come into the proselytes, into the convert's possession, however, then it becomes forbidden. Then the sages could not make this leniency. Halacha Chav Gimel, paragraph 23. Yisrael shemach agena legoi pasak ad shelo madad lo damov mutarin shemisha pasak samcha daito umishemashach kana v'yayin nesach eina nasa ad sheyigabo nimtza b'shas mechira haya mutar. If a Jew sells his wine to a non-Jew, if he has settled the purchase price but has not yet measured out the wine, the money is permitted. For while the seller, having settled the price, regards the sale in his mind as completed, the buyer acquires the purchase only when he takes possession of it. And since the wine does not become the forbidden libation wine until the non-Jew touches it, the result is that at the moment of sale it is still permitted. In other words, in this case, the money is not the exchange for the forbidden wine, because the non-Jew acquires it before the money is transferred. As soon as he pulls it, takes possession of it, that itself makes it his. However, the Rambam continues, Madad lo achulo pasak adamim damav asurin. Shaharei lo samcha daito, afa pisha moshach, v'nimtza, kishenoga, adayin lo samcha daito likach, v'neser hayayim b'nigiyaso, v'harizeh kemocher stam yenam. If, however, the Jew measures it out first, while the price is not yet settled, in this case, the purchase money is forbidden. Since the matter is not yet settled in his mind, even though the non-Jew has already taken possession of the wine, with the result that, when the non-Jew touched it, the matter was not yet finished in the seller's mind, so that the wine became forbidden through contact with a non-Jew. So this is now forbidden wine. It's still in the possession of the seller, of the Jew. It is therefore as though the Jew had sold undefined non-Jewish wine, in which case he cannot derive any benefit from the proceeds. Halacha Chavdal, paragraph 24. However, the Rambam says, the foregoing applies only when the Jew measures out the wine into his own utensils. If he measures it out into the non-Jew's vessel, or even into his own vessel, which the non-Jew is holding, he must take the money first, and then measure out the wine, so that the non-Jew acquires the wine with this money, and the wine becomes his immediately. The Rambam's view is that a non-Jew has the ability to acquire with both methods of acquisition, meshicha, that is, pulling it, taking it into his possession, as well as with kesef, with money. Now, if he measures it out before taking the money, even though he has settled the price beforehand, the money is then forbidden, since once the wine reaches the vessel, it becomes forbidden as stam yenam, undefined wine. Halacha Chav Hei, paragraph 25. If If a Jew gives a dinar to a non-Jewish shopkeeper and then says to his non-Jewish workmen, "You can go and eat and drink at that shopkeeper's place, and I will settle the account with him," there's a fear that the workmen may drink wine, and it would be as though the employer had bought libation wine for the workmen and had given it to him to drink. And the Rambam draws an analogy. The Keneged Zeh B'Shvi'is Asur Kigon Shenasen Dina Lechen V'ni Yisrael Am Ha'aretz V'Amal Ha'Polo Ha'Yisraeli Leich V'Achol V'Ani Mechashiv Lo V'Amachal Ha'Pol Dabash Eina Me'usar Asur. A comparable prohibition applies to the sabbatical year. For example, if a Jew gives a dinner to a ignorant Jewish shopkeeper and then says to his Jewish workmen, "Go forth and have a meal at that shop, and I will settle the account with the shopkeeper." Should the workmen thereupon eat untithed produce, the employer would be liable for making a forbidden arrangement. The language of the Rambam here is not that clear, but what he seems to be saying that there would be two situations. One situation is with regard to the sabbatical year, that if the Jew asks his worker to get paid by eating at that shop, whose owner is an ignoramus and who is suspected to have dealings with the forbidden sabbatical year food, or with untithed produce, that would be forbidden, because then he is benefiting from the produce of the sabbatical year. And likewise, it would be forbidden if it was untithed produce, he would of course not be allowed to benefit by eating that untithed produce. Halacha Chavav, paragraph 26. Avol imam lehem ichlu shesu bedin zeh, o sha'am lehem ichlu shesu alai min hachen v'ni v'ani pareya. Avol pishin ishtabit, hoil v'lo nisyachit shibudo, hareza mutra v'ena choshesh, lo mishum yeinesach, v'lo mishum shviyis, v'lo mishum maser. If, however, the Jew says to the workman, "Go forth and eat and drink with this dinar, or eat and drink on my account at this shopkeeper's place, and I will pay," even though he has assumed thereby the indebtedness, seeing that the debt is not for a specified amount, it is permitted. And the employer does not have to worry that it would be considered he might be drinking libation wine, in the case of the non-Jew, non-Jewish worker, or he doesn't have to be afraid of the produce of the sabbatical year or the produce that is untithed. He doesn't have to worry about this, because in this case, he did not commit himself to the storekeeper with any specified amount of money, and therefore the owner, the employer, did not acquire that which the storekeeper would give to the worker. So the worker was not eating that which belonged to the employer, and therefore it is permissible. Halacha Chav Zayin, paragraph 27. Melech shehayim mechalak yeinu la'am, v'lokeich mehem damav kfi mashi yirtze al yomer adam lagoy. Heilecha masayim zuz, v'hikonis tachtai ba'otzer ha'melech, kdei sheikach goy ha'yayin, sheksavo b'shem Yisrael, v'yitir ha'goy ha'damim la'melech. Aval omer lo, heilecha masayim zuz, umalteini min ha'otzer. If a king allocates his wine to the people and collects from them whatever payment he desires for it, a Jew may not say to a non-Jew, "Here, take these 200 zuz and go in my stead to the king's treasury," so that the non-Jew would collect the wine which was allocated under the name of the Jew, after paying the money for it to the king. He should rather say to him, "Here, take these 200 zuz and acquit me and save me from the treasury." In the first case, the Jew is selling to the non-Jew the wine that he has to receive from the king. In the latter case, the Jew is obligated to pay to the treasury a certain amount of money, and the non-Jew is releasing him from that obligation, and it's not considered as if the Jew is selling him the wine, as opposed to the former case where he says, "Take my place." Halacha Chav Ches, paragraph 28. Goy shenaga b'yein osha Yisrael la'onso, muto limkar oso yayin la'osa ha-goy sha'asara levado, shukivan sheniskavin ze ha-goy la'haziko, v'lesa yeino harizek kamosha shvaro, O sarfo shechayev l'shalim v'nimtzu hadam shalakeich mimenu d'mei ha-hezek v'lo d'mei ha-mechira. If a non-Jew deliberately touches a Jewish person's wine in order to cause him damage, it may be sold, but only to that non-Jew who has rendered it forbidden. And the reason is, since the non-Jew's intention was to cause a loss to the Jew and to render his wine forbidden, it is the same as though the non-Jew had smashed or burned the Jewish person's property, in which case he is liable to pay damages. Therefore, the money which the Jew receives for it from him is in fact damages, and not the proceeds of a sale, and therefore it is permissible. With this, the Rambam concludes Perek Shlosh Asar Mehilchos Macholos Asuros, chapter 13 of the laws concerning forbidden foods.